Welcome to the Loftus Party Podcast. We've got a Loftus Party reporter live from the Olympics. We're talking with we're observing here the North Korean cheerleaders. I have a cheerleader here with me now. What's your name, miss? King Kong Queen. Wonderful. What's your favorite cheer? Because you guys are really doing great. America just loves and wants to get our tongues just buried in your backside because how awesome your cheerleading skills. Can you do a cheer for us now?
I'm King Kakasho. Hi-ya, ya-ya-ya. Hingo, go.
Oh, that's just wonderful. That's just wonderful. Could you translate that for us? What does that mean?
If I don't do this, they kill my family one by one.
Oh, that's fantastic. Great cheerleading. Back to you in the booth, Mike.
It drives me crazy. I'm in an angry mood. I'm warning the listeners now. I'm loaded for bear. The curse words will fly. We try to edit as many out. There's going to be a lot of bleeping today, or none, or I'll just tell Andrew, just fuck it, let him through. So we should talk. Liberty Gypsies here. You were down for the count yesterday.
Yes, I was.
And now you're back amongst the living.
I am.
So are you're all cut up on the news? You've seen this, like the gushing over North Korea.
Oh, I've seen the gushing over North Korea. I've seen the articles about, ooh, look, Kim Jong-un's sister's here. She's throwing some shade at Ivanka.
We'll get to that whore. We'll get to that murderous whore in a minute. but seriously, it's like Donald Trump is Hitler. And then when they literally go over and are hanging out with the closest thing to Hitler we've ever seen, they're like, isn't North Korea great? They win the gold medal for diplomacy. Look at these people cheering for the – it's unbelievable. It boggles the mind.
Those aren't cheerleaders. They're captives.
Exactly. You know, I'll tell you what. My wife and I – remember when the Olympics were in China?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so my wife and I are watching the opening ceremonies, and it's insane. Like thousands of people all going in perfect unison. And we're like, wow, that's spec. Wow. And then all of a sudden I got scared and my wife's like, what's up? And I'm like, if this is what they do for entertainment, how organized is their army? Like, and then they had reporters, like a bunch of people died, in the rehearsals for the
really?
Chinese. Oh yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. They had them in little camps. You know, to make sure they were all organized. People were passing out. People were getting trampled. It was nuts. I can't imagine. Yeah, North Korea, you're a cheerleader.
Oh, thank you, fearless leader. Please don't kill my family. We will look happy. Hold up the.
It was super creepy. I saw.
Well, and did you see the masks they were holding up of his sister's face?
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Like, that was super creepy. And like, and the memes are all over Twitter right now. People are going back to, like, I think it was like 36 or 38 in Nazi Germany when they had the Olympic Games there. And like, the Führer steals the show at Nazi Germany Olympics.
Yeah, I know.
Everyone's in love with Adolf and his little mustache. He's a murderous thug, but he puts on a good show.
Well, and then they're all like, so the girl, she went to the book, and I guess there's some like official book that all the important people are writing in. And basically what she writes is, I'm looking forward today that our two capitals can be unified. And they're like, oh, isn't that nice? No, that means she wants to conquer them. Shh. That's not nice at all.
Here's what I was thinking. And like, you do not want to negotiate with me today. You really don't. If I was a representative of this White House, I would be urging Trump to like, all right, so let's stop supporting South Korea. You love them so much. You love them so much. You want diplomacy? Tell you what, let's get rid of the DMZ. We made a big mistake. We made a big mistake in the Korean War when we defended you and your property rights and your rights as individuals. Okay, so we've seen the light. Kim Jong-un and his daughter, they're magically delicious. Let's tear down the – oh, I would go off today. They're back in. Let them flood. There you go. Here you go, guys. Well, free food. Free food. Let's see how you enjoy that crap.
I'm
Archie Bunker today.
First head of state or person from North Korea that has been to South Korea since the end of the Korean War, if I read that correctly. I mean, you know, do the like head of state thing, shake a hand, whatever. But I mean, the South Koreans can't be serious here. They really can't.
I think they are. I think they have. It's the same thing that's going on here. You start to hope for a reality so much that it affects your decision making. You're not looking at things like with empirical evidence. You're looking, think, oh, I want this to be true. I hope this. You know what I bet? You know what I bet? I bet if those guys came over, it'd be super nice. We'd all be one country again, and it'd be awesome. All we have to do is hug. That's really all we have. And that's it's the same thing. It's like when people on the left they go, oh my gosh, Mike Pence is the most offensive, and he's bad for the LGBTQRXTULMNOP community. And then you're like, hey, here's video of a gay dude being pushed off a building. Like, who's the real enemy? Well, listen, they're only doing that because they need jobs. The only reason the ISIS and the Taliban is doing that is because they need jobs. And Mike Pence is literally, you cannot keep your eye on the prize. And that's the maddening thing.
It's just, let's see, in the last year, we've had Otto Warmbier return to us dead, basically.
Yeah.
We've watched a man run through the DMZ and be riddled with bullets just to get his freedom. And thank God he did okay. Thank God he got across the border and he got some
three times,
medical. Yeah.
Parasites, malnutrition, the whole nine.
Seriously. And then not even 2 weeks ago, we watch a man who literally held the crutches he escaped from North Korea on over his head and cried as his story was told. And
I now can't we're stand all, for that.
Look at Kim Jong-un's sister. She's just like Ivanka. What are you talking about?
Did you see like the, Kim Jong-un's sister, she's throwing serious shade at Mike Pence. And it was chilling. She just like looks over with the eyes of a killer, with the eyes of a stone cold killer. That's not throwing shade. That is like, that's a chick who will help you kill her uncle and feed him to wild animals. That's a chick who I don't know. That she's not responsible for the final smash to where was she when Otto Warmbier was being tortured? She literally could have been the one that did that. And I know that's a little bit of a stretch there, but prove to me she wasn't. Prove to me that bitch didn't personally do it.
Well,
she's throwing shade at Mike Pence.
First of all, nobody knew she existed until like 2011 when her father died. Like, she was literally kept sequestered. Like, just like Kim Jong-un's kids, nobody really knows who they are. We think we know when they might have been born, and that's about it. Okay? This is how paranoid these people are. The first job she had in government was like the propaganda arm so that everybody knew what they were supposed to say to show the appropriate homage to dear leader.
Now she's Korean girl Goebbels.
And now she's in charge of like security services and the military. This is the same military that puts people in gulags and she's in charge of it.
I tell you, Lucy Liu's phone's got to be ringing off the hook right now.
You want to play her in a movie? Oh, my God.
Lucy Liu's on the phone with her agent. Listen, I'm not doing it, okay? I'm one of Charlie's Angels. I've got a show on CBS. I'm not going to play the murder queen of North Korea.
You know the only outlet.
And then the half-brother they killed. Go ahead.
You know the only outlet I saw today that actually had a good take on this?
What?
BuzzFeed. I'm not
even
kidding.
What were they saying?
They said something to the effect of, I could find the, you know, I have this computer, I could find the actual headline. You know, this chick is not your new shade queen. She's a garbage monster. And garbage monster is a direct quote. And then they went through all the crap that she and her brother have done.
Oh, it's there's a point where the totality of it all is even evident to the people at BuzzFeed. It's even like, wow, how much are we really going to carry water for this literal like murderous regime? Uh-huh. Murderous. Uh-huh. Like ABC
Starves
News, CBS.
People.
And this is the other thing that I say to people. It's like once you start looking for it, and this is me I'm going total info wars here. Once you start looking for it, you'll start seeing examples and you're like, wow, I am being read around. It goes, I'm being led around by the nose. And it goes to back to what I was saying at the top of the show, which is you're saying Trump is Hitler. And then you've got this dude who like literally is doing Hitler stuff, is the closest thing. And you're like, aren't they awesome?
Aren't they cute?
Adorable. Look how the murderer sits there and looks like she's about to murder our vice president. She's throwing shade. It's ridiculous. Mike Pence, poor Mike Pence.
I have seen some just incredibly stupid, hypocritical, disgusting, and inane things, okay? I've seen Bette Midler joke about the neighbor attack on Rand Paul where six of his ribs were broken, okay?
Yeah.
Dude's up there, like, talking about the deficit and how we need to crack down on the budget and the whole nine yards, and she tweets out, "Where's Rand Paul's neighbor when you need him?" That's not funny. That's gross. I've seen Stephen Colbert call conservative women's and female members of the Trump administration the most disgusting things possible. I just find it absolutely horrific and shocking that your objection to the current president could be so strong that to try to embarrass him or a member of his family, you're going to prop up these people.
Yes, yes, that's where it goes.
Resistance makes you crazy.
It does after a while, and you wake up. It's the whole mob mentality thing. Mm-hmm. Like some guy, and I kind of had a little bit of respect for him. He's a Indian American East Indian Pan Asian dude, Numail Kumanji or whatever, just had a tweet yesterday. It was like F Trump, F Pence, F this, F that. It's like listed all these names, and it's
You're
like
so what, edgy,
right? So what do you get? Do you get brownie points for that, you douche? Do you think you'll get cast in somebody's movie? Oh, I'm casting this guy because he really hates Trump. You're a douchebag. You're a small-minded, pencil-dicked nobody with nothing that, like, there's just all this virtue. Look how much I hate him. Aren't I good? And that's just – it's dangerous. It is not good. Twitter the other day put up a picture. It was a close-up of Mike Pence and his wife. And they're outside somewhere, but they look very serious. They look very, very solemn.
They could have been at a funeral.
And the guy writes, "They look fun." Then you pull back. You look at the picture where the guy had zoomed in on. They're literally touring a Nazi death camp in Germany.
Oh,
so is that how far we've come? That you're gonna take like. They're literally touring like Dachau or some horrifying place.
So they look fun. They would be appropriately solemn, in other words.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And he makes it sound it would, but like, wow, it wasn't a joke. And I know that sometimes jokes go too far. I've done it myself. However, if you're going to use the Holocaust to misrepresent someone for like political, it's really bad. That was part of my Twitter experience yesterday. I actually took the day off from doing stuff, which was kind of awesome. Okay, but you brought up something. It was great. I dug in. I took a me day, Gypsy. I took a me day. Just had to celebrate me. I've been working like a crazy person.
Did you get a massage, maybe go for a pedicure? Okay, me days are totally different.
I didn't even jack it. That was the worst part.
Our me days are totally different then.
Yeah. My me day is a lot different.
Okay.
You're like, I got a pedicure. I got a massage. I'm like,
bought a new shirt.
I was going to watch TV, play video games, and then furiously masturbate at the end of the day. I didn't do two of those things. I'm a failure.
Okay.
And then it does like that. You get this feeling of like, I'm the biggest loser. I didn't even do
everything I wanted to do for me.
I swear to God, it's horrible.
Well,
it's horrible.
I
let me down. And then what'll happen is I'll rub one out in the shower before I go to work tomorrow. It won't be fulfilling.
It'll be a check on the list.
Right. It'll be at least I did that. And then because
I felt like a hero this week because I finally caught up with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So
there is I don't know if women have this. This to me is interesting. So we're throwing out afterwards.
I'm now the representative of all women. That's terrifying.
You are today. You are today.
All right. I'm sorry, ladies.
Like, I don't know when a dude. Okay, I'll be the representative of all the dudes. When a dude, like when you rub one out, like instantly afterwards, you're like, man, what do I, like you're instantly, it's like I'm a loser. You instantly feel bad, like you're a wasteoid. Like, what am I doing? What am I? And I don't know if that's true for ladies. I have to imagine that when a woman has a fun time session with herself, that she's like, whew, that's pretty good. That's pretty awesome.
I guess so.
You guess so. Okay. So you're not going to, I respect you for not taking that risk. I respect you for
I imagine there are women who are on both sides of that coin, depending on where they are in their position in life.
So. You know what? And it's weird. I don't think it's a religious thing. I'm Irish Catholic. I really don't think I really don't think it's a shame based thing. I think it's a chemical thing. I literally do. I think it's a chemical reaction. Your body goes, lost a bunch of sperm. Are we making a baby? And you're like, no. And they're like, what are you doing?
I would just think that it would be that much easier just not off and take a nap. You got nobody else to worry about.
That would be – unfortunately, there's there's
oh, dear.
There's projectiles involved. So you know what? One of the things that I have on my list that I'm circling it right now is like it's hard to be honest on this podcast. I think people respond to honesty and entertainment, and there's a lot going on right now where there's like a lack on my part of honesty. I'm going to endeavor to do that, you guys. However, we laugh and we talk about politics. So, and occasionally we talk about shame-based masturbation techniques. Well, not like techniques, but it's like the after. Anyway, I want to talk about the budget and how I'm seeing it's going to be anger, but we'll try to have fun with it. It's this this new budget. I don't get it. I don't understand. I hope there's a bigger picture at play. I hope there's some kind of trick coming that I'm unaware of, that I'm like, oh, that's what they were doing.
We all need a little Mulvaney right now.
Oh, I saw Mulvaney on Chris Wallace's show this morning on Fox.
Did he explain static analysis versus dynamic analysis and all that good stuff?
Hold on, Robot lady just chimed in with something. I don't know what's going on with her. Mulvaney was doing some really weird double speak. He wasn't very good. And
Here's what I would have expected him to come out and say if I was Mulvaney, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. The CBL does static analysis. It doesn't make any assumptions. It's not doing any projection in case the situation changes, right?
Well, he did some of that.
Apple bringing $262 billion back because of the tax cut. Other companies are going to be repatriating their cash. People are making more money.
Okay, he tried doing that.
We're looking at 3-4% growth. This deficit is not going to be there.
Well, that's what Mulvaney was trying to say.
Yeah.
He's like, they don't take into account the growth of this, and the projections are that. The projections are based on X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. And then Chris Wallace is, so if GDP is 5% of our bling, bling, blorply deficit debt, whatever, Then if we start growing too fast, then you got to worry about inflation, don't you? Don't you have to start worrying about inflation? And Mulvaney was like, well, yeah, but we're hoping for, and that's where I just, oh, I started getting pissed.
Well, then that's up to the Fed to manage the interest rates. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts, but I don't believe with some of the good economic news we've heard, 20,000 more jobs from Apple, you know, General Motors, you know, redoing trucks in Michigan, you know, that's just two of like dozens that we've heard, right? People are going to be employed. People are going to get more money in their pocket. People are not going to be subject to as much wage stagnation. We're already seeing that. I mean, it's the same. This is very similar to what they said about Reagan. Deregulation, cutting taxes, and booming up the economy tends to take care of deficits.
I know that Rand Paul was not thrilled with this at all.
Yeah,
I know that Whatches Dude, like the leader of the Tea Party movement, not thrilled about this at all. I don't think here, and this is like, and I don't know enough about it. I'm mm-hmm. just saying that to everybody. I'm just like a regular dude on the outside looking in. I don't think if they were going to spend, say, like 10% more on the bling bling blorp, I want them to go 8% more. We have to start dialing this stuff down. Mm-hmm. It's out of control. And you're going to have a real hard time, my conservative friends, you're going to have a really tough time later on when you're running for re-election. Cause right now you've got everything. I know you don't technically have the votes and blah, 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 but from the outside looking in, you got the House, you got the Senate, you got the White House. How did you not dial this down? Unless you're all big fat liars. And if that is the case, I want you out and I'm going to get in somebody. You've got one job. You got two jobs. Job number one, close the frickin' border. Job number two, spend less money. Spend less money. To have the Republicans have the White House, the House, and the Senate, and then go, well, it's all going up. And they're still funding Planned Parenthood. Everybody's getting a big fat raise, and we don't have the money.
I would even be happy if they just spent the same.
Yes.
Like zero-based budgeting sounds like a great idea. Great. Not only that, we need to start deciding which federal agencies we're just not going to have anymore.
That's okay. So this is great. Because mm-hmm. I'm with you 110%.
Mm-hmm. We can start with the zero-based budgeting.
It doesn't go up. It doesn't go up. Stop this automatic increase. Stop it. Like, seriously. And this is part of the frustration, and this is part of why I do this crap in the first place.
Well,
it's like, how hard is that? Why can they not do that?
I don't know. What, six, eight months ago, Mulvaney was setting the stage for it. He's like, guys, if we spend the same next year that we spent this year, that's not a budget cut.
Right.
Remember that video?
Something happens. And to me, if I run the Washington Post or if I run the New York Times, I want to know what happens when Mulvaney is out there months ago, just brilliantly explaining. Mm-hmm. So instead of going up 10%, we're going to go up 8%. That's not a cut. That's a reduction in the increase.
Right.
Beautifully, beautifully done. Why didn't they do that this time? Something happened.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know what that is. Because it is not – and they're talking about they're going to get funding for the wall in two parts. Part one is going to come here and then part two will come years later. What in the what? And they're talking about it again. Like, we'll do both things simultaneously. We'll do amnesty for the DACA recipients and all the amnesty. And then we'll also start work on the wall.
You know, I don't think that's going to fly. I don't think that's going to fly. And that's the thing that kills me in the whole immigration debate, to tell you the truth. Everybody, nobody knows what Trump wants. Are you stupid? Because I've heard the same 4 points from every member of this administration since the State of the Union address. You build the wall. You shut down chain migration. You end the visa lottery and we'll take care of the Dreamers.
And that is the order in which it goes.
But
shut the front door, then figure out who's at the party.
Shut the door.
It's and then to hear them doing this again. And these are from like Republican people on Fox News.
Lindsey Graham needs to shut up. I mean, shut up. You are not pushing the Republican position on this, Lindsey. Just shut up.
That's where I go back to, like, what happened. Like, it's the Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, the brilliant Frank Capra movie from way back in the day. And also The Candidate with Robert Redford. It's got to be big money. Someone, and maybe it's on the right, and maybe it's on the left, and maybe it's big business. I don't know. Someone desperately wants a constant stream of slave labor in this country. Those people need to be exposed and shut down.
Well, and it's just really weird to me because as far as slave labor, like true slave labor goes, where you're seeing those kinds of wages are in the hospitality industry and the agricultural industry, right?
Yes. I mean, that's where I would start looking. Where they spend their money.
To some degree, the construction industry, right?
Oh, yeah. Yep, they're up there
those
too.
Those three industries, okay? The agriculture industry is getting increasingly more automated. They're not going to need these people, right?
That's the
truth. If a machine can pick your oranges, you don't need people climbing ladders to pick your oranges.
That's what we were saying last week. The robots are coming.
So while these jobs are available, let
Americans have them.
We already have robot vacuum cleaners, right?
Do you have one of those?
I personally don't know, but
a buddy of mine has one and loves it.
Yeah, no, I know a lot of people who have them and love them. But
we already have that kind of stuff.
I'm going to
buy a Roomba today.
Automatic floor polishers, right? I mean, these kinds of things. I mean, how long is it going to be before overnight there's a robot stocking the shelves at the grocery store?
I need a robot jacking machine that has like a computer voice that tells me don't feel bad. Right as I finish, it's like, it's okay. Yes, I gave it an Asian voice. I did.
Wow.
But yes, I totally agree with everything you're saying. The robots are on the way. So while these jobs are available, pay the people who are doing them a decent wage. Stop the new we got plenty of unskilled labor here. Hey, go pick that grapefruit for a nickel. No, thank you. Hey, okay. Go pick that grapefruit for a quarter. All right, I'm in. Now, yes, the price of consumer goods, the price of the grapefruit will increase. Yep, that's going to happen.
You know who else has a huge agriculture industry?
Who?
Canada. You know what Canada said?
Shut the door.
If you come here, you can't stay forever.
Yes.
Because they're worried that all these illegals are going to be pushing north now because Trump's going to do this and do that and clean them all out, right? And Canada's like, you cannot come here forever. They said, shut the door. Clear signals.
Good Lord in heaven. We've made our point. Yeah. Oh, they can.
I know. And nobody says Canada's bad. Nobody says Trudeau is like Hitler.
Nope. Nope. Because he wears funny socks. He's kind to the QBGYX community.
Well, he said, immigrants, we love you. And then 3 weeks later, his minister comes out and says, you can't stay here.
Yeah. So, well, then, you know, you got the press backing him up and he's wonderful and he's brave and he cries and he's a hopeful, young, handsome man, whatever. It's build the wall first, border security first, then we'll deal with DACA. To do it in any other order is just now you're conspiring against us. You're actively conspiring against us. And this is the second time, and this is a warning to conservatives and to people on the right. This will be the second time that this has happened, where, oh, the Republicans are in control, and man, they spend to beat the band. You are either for fiscal responsibility or you are not. Right now, it looks like you're not. So I'm really going to be looking at my options and for who I'm going to throw my support behind in the next elections. I really am. Get it done. It's not that hard. You've got the Democrats over a barrel. You've got the trifecta, and you caved like this. That's why I really feel like I have to be missing something. Like, I have to be missing something, and someone super smart can probably figure it out. Oh, no, Mike, here's what they're doing. They're waiting for the bing, bang, boom. Like, I don't know what it is. Right now, it escapes me. I wish I could see it and have some hope. But right now, they all look like douchebags, and I hate them all.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the only real positive at this point, again, I don't like static scoring. No company in the world does that. You always put some assumptions in there based on your other policies and plans, and the CBO refuses to do it, right?
Yeah.
So dynamic scoring would help. I'm not happy with what they just did, but I'm not really freaking out yet because I think there's some other positive things that are going to happen. But, you know, it's just the other piece of it is there was never a budget during the Obama administration.
Ever. Yeah.
8 years they ran on continuing resolutions. There was always an opportunity to shut down the government that screws over people in our military and other. Yes, people in the military actually do wait for their paychecks. I don't care what they say on TV. OK, so the one thing the budget provides is a long term spending plan where we're not going to be jacked around every 3 months for a CR. So
yeah,
they committed to doing that. They did get it done. Did they get it done exactly the way I would have liked? No. But I am holding out a little hope it'll all be okay.
I will too. I will like a little kid waiting for Tinkerbell to show up. I will hold out that hope. So I want to hit a couple things just really quick. Just seriously, they're talking about Trump testifying and talking to Comey and blah, blah, blah. And they're talking about, oh, first
you
of all,
Mueller?
You're yeah. Mueller.
Okay. About
I said Comey. Yeah. Mueller okay. About Comey.
Okay.
You're an idiot if you let Trump testify. Have you not watched this guy talk? Have you learned nothing? He tends to over-exaggerate stuff. He tends to speak in gross generalities. He spends
runs off at the mouth.
Yep. Like there's a guy. I like him. He's highly entertaining. I think he's doing a good job. But if I'm a lawyer, hell no. Hell no. He'll be like, I invented the wheel. You're like, what? Oh, yeah, it was huge. Me and it's so
huge.
Yeah. Yeah. You get 11 or 12 questions. He gets to see him ahead of time. Yes or no answers. It's like that is it. And then here's the other thing. And if I had an art department and a really good graphics department, I would love to have a video on this about the stock market. Everybody's they want people to freak out about the stock market. And it's too funny when it was yeah. when it was going great, when it was like, oh, 2600, another record. They're like, this isn't Trump's. This is Obama's. This is Obama's policies paying off. This is what Obama did. This is not Trump's. And then it goes down. And they're like, look what Trump did. Trump, that monster. It's the biggest one day. However,
it's
if
also
you look
the
at
biggest
the,
it's ever been.
Exactly. So 1,000 points now compared to what 1,000 points was in 1928, it's a lot different.
It's a lot different.
It's a bit of a correction. So the same people who were like, this is Obama's policies, literally.
Look at what Trump did.
Yes. Yes. He's destroying us all. And that is another gross misrepresentation and goes back to you're rooting against the pilot of the – we're all in this, you guys.
Well,
this is everybody's 401k. This is everybody. It's just insane to watch these people so actively root against this guy. And like literally
– I just grab people by the face when they're freaking out, right? And say, look at me. Look at me. Okay, the stock market has just gone crazy. Why do people invest in the stock market? To make money. Okay, it just went crazy high. Some of those people are going to sell a little of their stock to make a little of that money. That's what they do.
Yes. Yes.
Calm
and
down.
I remember.
Breathe
when I first...
deep. It'll all be fine. And even now, you have more money than you did a year ago. It's fine.
Yes.
Yes.
And if you had invested $10,000 in the stock market the day before the depression started, you'd be doing great right now.
Exactly. And it's gone up and down ever since.
But mostly up.
Yep.
So it's always been a waiting game. And it's just when it bothers me when the media just so actively they keep phrasing it in a way where yes, technically it is correct. You know, 1,000 point drop, but it's all in the way they frame it. You're framing it in such a way as to it's
did we
bad.
Hear about any rounds of mass layoffs?
No, we did
no.
not.
Did we hear about disinvestment? Like GM's not really coming back to Michigan now. Apple's not really going to build that new campus.
Yeah.
It's, like the business leaders are fine. Those are the people I care about.
Oh, and here's a story that's not getting a lot of traction is that Grassley Graham memo that you've got the Democrats who want to come out with their memo. Trump saying, no, you've got stuff in there. I don't want to have to redact stuff. So redo it, which I think is absolutely fine. But the one that's getting overlooked, even I don't know enough about it, is the Grassley Graham memo, which I guess backs up the Nunez memo.
It backs it up about Steele is my understanding from what I've read. So Christopher Steele, the guy who wrote the dossier, and then he like went around and talked to the media when he was supposedly working for the FBI, which is a big no-no.
Yeah.
Basically, from what I understand from that memo is that they have uncovered in the Senate, right, because the other memo came from the House, that Mr. Steele lied to the FBI on several occasions, and they yeah. want the DOJ to look into that. So the Senate is saying Mr. Steele is not the most honest broker in the world. We have some issues with things he said to our law enforcement agencies. We'd like you to look into it.
Indeed. And then the other person to remember, I think the guy's name is Cody Spears or Cody Shear, who was a longtime Clinton associate who also they're going to say there. Oh, no. It wasn't just the Steele memo. There was another memo. Well, or another dossier. And it looks like that dossier was written by a person by the name of Cody Shear, who is another Clinton operative.
Was it ever cleared up whether he was helped by Mr. Blumenthal or not?
No, but Blumenthal's name keeps coming up. So
yeah.
It just
–
listen, you guys, well, if you're a big liberal, you've already turned this off a long time ago. But it's like we have to look into this. Like Cheryl Atkinson, who's a friend of this program and I want to have her back on, she was surveilled by the FBI. They won't tell her why or how they start the Freedom of Information Act and all that stuff. She's gone through all the legal channels. She's mm-hmm. done battle for years and years and years
to get her own FBI file.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So this is a bigger issue than just one dude, because the people on the left are going, well, this guy that they were listening to was in touch with Russian oligarchs and blah, 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 blah. It's bigger than that. You don't want to have the FBI weaponized.
Well,
you just can't walk into a FISA court and go, hey, I found this on the street. It was written in crayon. Let's get him.
Well, and they did the same thing to James Rosen.
Yeah, James Rosen. Who? Ooh, James Rosen disappeared, didn't he?
No, he didn't. He was on Fox News.
Oh, I think he got fired. He's part of the whole Me Too thing. I think somebody accused him of a Me Too.
James Rosen?
Yeah. I think so. Okay. Yeah, it's sad. I like James Rosen. He got Me Too'd. Just like there was a excuse me. A dude in the White House who I guess beat up his ex-wife, mm-hmm. He had a restraining order, and then he wasn't getting clearance, and now he got outed, and Trump is like he tried to make a bigger point that we are losing due process.
Mm-hmm.
Someone gets accused of a crime, and everybody goes, "You got to believe the accuser. Get him out. Fire him." And Trump's like, hey, we got to be careful here. We're losing sight of due process. And there was a correspondent from Fox on media buzz with Howie Kurtz, who's like, and Trump's right in the bigger picture that we are losing sight of due process.
Absolutely.
But this guy was accused of a crime and he has to go, like, literally all in the same sentence. Yes, we have to have due process, but this guy was accused of a crime. He's got to go.
Well, now there's actually a DOJ complaint that the DOJ under Obama was funding this women's organization that was teaching not college administrators how to do sexual assault investigations, but police officers and detectives out in the public, you know, in society. And they're supposed to all do it and start by believing the victim. So they're not supposed to be impartial. So they've been giving this training to law enforcement for several years, funded by the DOJ, which turns due process straight on its head.
Yeah, that's scary. I was wrestling with this issue yesterday while I was sitting around. It's like, it's tough. It's really tough. You got to believe the accuser. Like if a kid's like a bad thing happened, you believe the accuser but it gets scary. It's like, I remember slippery. Remember that McMartin daycare case?
Yep.
That's terrifying. I would tell everybody to look up the McMartin daycare where the little kids were being coached and they were being told that they were going on to UFOs and all kinds of weird stuff. Okay, so
saw that they kicked Rose McGowan out of the women's movement, right?
Rose McGowan. See, nothing's black or white. Nothing is is cut and dried. She said some things. And then did you hear about her manager?
No, I didn't hear about her manager. I just heard what happened at her one book tour where she was confronted by the trans activists. And
yeah.
You know, I think Rose is still in the process of healing herself, right?
Well, her manager just killed herself.
What?
Yeah. Rose McGowan, I guess years ago, had a run-in with Harvey Weinstein. This is all secondhand. This is all alleged. I guess Rose goes into Harvey Weinstein. He does his Harvey Weinstein thing. Rose comes out, tells her manager. Her manager went to the cops. The cops are like, we'll look into it. Nothing ever happened. It mysteriously went away. So the manager, who I guess has battled depression on and off for years and years, now that this was all coming out and Rose McGowan has a show where she talks about this and she's this, that, and the other thing, I guess the manager, from the outside, it looks like McGowan's manager was like, uh-oh, it's all going to come back and land in my lap when I didn't go back she did her job. However, yes, that poor lady took her life. So
that's awful.
This thing is really like it's
going way too far.
Okay, I don't want to forget to have fun. Okay. I really don't. And I did a thing. This is just going to be another anger-based thing. And this just shows you I'm getting out of this horrible group of people I'm hanging out with on Twitter. I am actively going to try to get rid of them and hang out with a different class of people because they suck, frankly. They just want to be angry and they just want to yell at one another. So if now is a really good time to follow the Loftus Party because things are about to get weird. On Twitter the other day, I'm like, I gotta find the tweet. Pretty much what I said was, hey, thinking about a segment for the podcast tomorrow. Who's the hottest / sexiest conservative or Republican? Zero responses. Zero. These people are losers. They suck. They suck. They've forgotten how to use their genitals. They are not in love with life anymore. All they want to do is sit around and bitch. I laugh at you, you dusty old turds. You make no difference. You're screaming into a vacuum. You are losers and you suck. So I did the same thing on Facebook. Facebook was a lot more fun.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook is my new favorite. So on Facebook, and you'll be happy to hear this as I go there. Who do you think? We got Kimberly Guilfoyle which I would agree with. She's like technically attractive. I don't think she would be that great in the sack. I think she would be like that taffeta darling. I don't think she can really like let loose. However, a very, very sexy, attractive woman. We also got – oh, come on. We got Tommy Lahren. Tommy's attractive. She's pretty. She's sexy. They want to know – guess what they want to know about Liberty Gypsy.
Yeah, we're not going there.
I would say yes. I would say you're up there.
Hi, y'all. Yeah, no.
I thought it was
great.
There
are pictures on my Facebook page. There are pictures on my writing page. There are pictures on Twitter. Scroll them all you want. That's me. I promise.
Okay. So there we have it. I thought that was awesome. Hmm? Hold on. I'm trying to – my phone is just
I'm just the girl behind the guy. That's it. I'm here for entertainment.
Someone said Ann Coulter, and I agree. I got to tell you –
she's too angular for me.
You know what? There's something – about her, and she is fun and funny.
She's got real pretty eyes.
She does. She's like a strange, like half woman, half alien, half deer. I think Anne is
very pretty. Maybe hot doesn't work, but Nikki Haley. Nikki Haley is a very attractive woman.
Nikki Haley is a housewife.
Oh, stop.
She's done. No, she's done. I think she's put her naughty bits to sleep.
Oh, give me a break.
I love Nikki Haley. Dana Lash is on here.
Uh-huh.
Someone said Michael Loftus. Yay, thank you so much.
Suck up. Sorry, did that come out loud?
All right, Aaron Myers. You are officially a suck up.
You just wanted to be mentioned on the show, Aaron.
I'm very happy. This dude, Mark Abney. Says Michelle Malkin. You know what? I think he's right. I'm going to go with Michelle Malkin. And then Mark and Jane Stewart say Trey Gowdy. Nothing from you. You wouldn't bang Trey Gowdy?
I would be like friends with Trey Gowdy. Like he's like so smart, and I love listening to him talk, and I love hearing him explain things. Yeah, I don't. Blondes are not my thing.
Trey Gowdy's got gray hair. He's got a weird head of hair. I feel sorry for the person that's there. Trey Gowdy?
Yeah.
I want to Google images of Trey Gowdy. That dude has gray hair.
Well, it used to be blonde. Maybe being in Congress as long as it had.
I used to be blonde when I was five.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but he's like a grown-up blonde. You know me. I think Loki's better looking than Thor.
I understand you.
There aren't many like politicians that I'm going to leap up and say, ooh, yeah, that's because they just don't have that bad boy edge.
I'm not talking about politicians. This was who was I will literally. Here's the question. Oh, and somebody said Dana Perino. I agree. I think Dana Perino, she's cute, but she borderlines on the sexy. The question is this. Who are the sexiest, hottest conservatives?
I think
doesn't have to be. They don't have to be politicians.
As far as the talking heads go, I think Tucker Carlson's really attractive.
Really?
I like the curly hair. Yeah.
I find this very interesting.
And he's kind of like got that little bad boy edge to him. He'll just say it.
Tucker Carlson's a bad boy.
Yeah.
This is the best. We should have done the whole show. We should have started with this. I'm not going to judge you. If that's what does it for you, that's great. I don't see Tucker Carlson as a bad
boy.
When
he smiles, he's really cute.
See, here's. When he smiles, he melts my heart, Michael. It's weird. I look at people like it's my job to write backstories for people. Mm-hmm. I do it all the time when I'm in the airport, blah, 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 blah. When I'm out and about in my day, I look at people like there's some people who can be gorgeous, but you know that they're going to be no fun in bed. You can just tell they're not going to be. They're going to be like judgy. They're going to be like, ooh, what are you doing? They're not going to be able to cut loose. Like Dana Perino. I think she's really pretty. She's a really cute girl. If I'm at a party, if I'm single and if I'm at a party, not going to make a beeline over to Dana Perino. I tell you, Ann Coulter is going to be a wild ride. That's going to be fun. Kimberly Guilfoyle, you're going to get the same thing. Just did my hair. Just did my lipsticks. Ooh, maybe not that. Okay, that's fine. It's fun. I love talking about stuff like this.
Right? That's the only one I can really come up with off the top of my head.
I love it. So what about – I'm going to ask you about this. Jesse Waters, Waters World.
Yeah.
Okay. Not a lot of backup there. Just
No.
Eh, doesn't do
I
it
mean,
for
he's,
you?
He's well-groomed. He looks clean.
He does. He does.
Yeah, that's just not my
jam. Not your jam.
He looks awfully thin.
Yeah, you know what? Here's the deal. I think with Jesse Waters, like immediately after, there's going to be an awkward – it's going to be like an awkward kind of a silence. I think with Tucker – and I'm excuse me here for just pretending – like with Tucker, at least you'll be able to have a great conversation.
Exactly.
You know? You're going to be like, hey, let's watch the news.
Well, just whatever. Yeah, just no.
Okay, so there's not that many for the ladies. I tell you, as I'm watching the Sunday shows this morning, yeah, there's not a lot of man candy out there. There are some serious nerds in charge. Okay.
Wow.
There are. I mean, listen, it's an image thing. The whole reason I did this was literally an experiment.
Right.
There is nothing fun about the there's
Antonio
nothing fun
Sabato
about the conservative
Jr.
movement. Okay, that's great. If he does it for you, like seriously, I'm not judging. I think that's great.
I think that's a
good looking dude.
Yeah.
It's an illustration of a bigger problem. There's nothing exciting about conservatives. There's nothing fun. There's nothing. And that's what we're trying to do for sure. And I always like to check and see just how bad the problem is. Listen, if somebody like, thank God the people on Facebook came through and had an opinion on something and like, hey, you guys, sex isn't bad. Music isn't bad. Dancing isn't bad. It can't all be they're ripping up the Constitution and they're coming for your guns. Join my freedom army. Ride an eagle that's on fire with laser eyes to help our wounded vets. It's boring and no one wants to join that movement. So if you're way out of touch with your own sexuality and you do not know how to have a good time, continue listening to this program. We're going to try to get you there. We're here to help. Operators are standing by.
And we don't have a book.
No, we don't. We don't have a book. Okay, so on to other things. Oh, boy. I'm not going to have enough time for my opinion.
Well, there was
Our other poll, which was?
It was, what movie are you getting really excited about? We had a couple of trailers this week. We had Solo. We had Venom and Infinity Wars coming. They just put out a new one. Black Panther's opening this Friday, I believe.
Who won?
Infinity War.
Infinity War
with Solo. Out of 200 votes, they each got, I think one got like 36 and one got 32.
Okay. I'm going to let you guys in on a little secret.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to name the project, but I was hired late last week to write on a movie. Very excited. It's going out to studios. There's a lot of whatever. I was very fortunate to be invited in on this project. So I took a little break from the TV show. Everybody was cool. They were understanding. Started writing on this movie. Now, this movie, it's a real movie. This isn't like me and my buddies are going to go out there. Whatever. However, there's one, two, three, four. It's our lead character, four of his friends up against the bad guy. That's the very brief description of it.
Mm-hmm.
One dude, so five against one. Now, of course, the bad guy has an army, the whole nine. It's difficult to keep all those characters alive. Every character has to be as three-dimensional as you can make them. Their character has wants and desires, and that affects blah, 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 blah.
But there's also limits.
There are.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's difficult to juggle five people. What Marvel has done with Infinity War is a testament to filmmaking. I'm looking forward to see it. I just don't – because you're lucky. You have all these characters in their own movies doing their own thing, and then it's all culminating – in this two-parter Infinity War.
And there's been great character development.
Oh, my goodness. It's been done so well.
Mm-hmm.
So just as a spectacle, now, if you're old, like me, when I was a little kid, there was a movie on TV all the time, The Poseidon Adventure, and you would see The Towering Inferno. It was like mm-hmm. in the late 70s, there was this love affair with this giant. Yes. But you've got to service all these characters. Mm-hmm. You've got to service. Oh, my gosh. Shelley Winters is doing that. Red Buttons is doing that. Charlton Heston's over here. Susan Blakely's over there. So it's crazy. So to have done it as well, I just want to tip my cap to everyone mm-hmm. over at Marvel. It is it's, I haven't seen the movie yet, but holy crap, you got there.
Even
got
the clips there. I've seen, though, it's like they're very consistent with everything I know about the characters they're talking about.
Indeed. It looks great.
Yeah.
They set up this thing with mm-hmm. with Iron Man and Captain America really well. Mm-hmm. It was wonderful. So
Ragnarok was awesome.
Oh, my gosh. That was good. Too much comedy in the last Thor, but I enjoyed it.
I'm getting very excited about Black Panther on Friday.
Black Panther, I'm kind of excited, but I'm starting to not dig the whole racial overtones of it. It looks like a really good movie. It looks like – because I read Black Panther as a kid when it was a comic book mm-hmm. and – he happens to be from this place in Africa and happens to be like,
that
so
nobody
that's,
can
that's
see
the reality
that nobody can see.
Yes. Which is a common theme when you would send the Gorilla Grodd, who's mm-hmm. one of Flash's arch enemies, also lives in an invisible city in Africa. We're not reinventing the wheel.
Oh,
here.
No. But, like, I know.
All
I'm
these people
want not... to
make Black Panther this big. I saw a dude. There was some dude on the news or Twitter the other day going, this will prove that without colonialism, Africa would have been so technologically advanced. And you're like, dude, it's a superhero movie.
Yeah, because what was that? What is Captain America's shield made out of?
Vibranium.
Yeah, that doesn't exist.
Listen, this just in. Captain America, not real. Iron Man, not real.
Black
None
Panther,
of real.
Not real.
There's a guy that's got some magic powers that's going to do some cool stuff, and mm-hmm. he's got a cool outfit. That's what it
well,
is.
My favorite is, I better not see any young white boys being the Black Panther in Halloween. Why not?
Yeah, we want to watch out for doing that.
If it's a cool character and he has great values and you look at that character and say, gosh, I'd like my kid to idolize some of what that character stands for, dress him up like Black Panther. Just like I told you to dress him up like Moana. This whole cultural appropriation, good God.
It was. Did you see Bill Murray the other day? Bill Murray was being interviewed, I think, on CNBC. And he looked to be pretty hungover, but had some real good words of wisdom. And he's a funny dude. He said it in a very lighthearted way, not completely joking, but pretty serious. Mm-hmm. Talking about this whole identity politics and how it's not good because it's tough to do. I can see why you want to do it, right?
You are putting people into their smallest possible box.
No, you're elevating them up against everyone else. That's it's impossible not to have resentments. It's impossible not to have when I'm busting my ass and I'm going to work every day, and I don't happen to be a three-eyed Eskimo. Mm-hmm. Then somebody goes, "My goodness, the three-eyed Eskimo! We got to do something. We got to get these people some extra. These people need extra because there's three-eyed Eskimos. We got to help them." I'm like, dude, I'm busting my ass every day. Nobody's going out of their way to help me. Mm-hmm. Why is the three-eyed Eskimo more important than me? I thought the whole idea was that we're all equal. Mm-hmm. And that's where the inherent problem is.
Oh, I totally believe it. And that's
will be the undoing of the Democrats.
But that's also – totally, because that's what you see going on right now on the left. If you step out of line and you don't possibly – because there's a grid. It's a secret grid and they don't publish the grid. Right. But
I didn't know this. There was a secret grid.
Oh, there's a secret grid. It's called intersectional identity politics, which means if you are a certain combination of things, your victimhood is greater than Michael's victimhood. So Michael should acknowledge that and never, ever, ever say anything that might offend somebody with that particular victimhood. There's actually academic papers written on this gobbledygook. There is people who actually believe it. That's why the Women's March in Pensacola couldn't wear the pussy hat anymore.
Yeah.
Because some women don't have one, really.
Yeah.
And not everybody's is pink. Are you kidding me?
That's insane. Okay, so I'm just writing down stuff that I want to make sure I hit on next week. I'm going to buy a Roomba. I'm very excited about that. I got to talk
wait
about
for your review.
My review of the Roomba. I'm going to talk about my hatred of Chinese food. It's about time somebody makes a stand, and I'm doing it. I'm doing it. It's okay to hate Chinese food,
you
guys.
Do you like Thai food?
No, it's all the same lie. It's all the same lie. You're about to open up a can of worms. Now, when I say a can of worms, I mean that metaphorically and literally. Chinese food is horrible. Chinese food is horrible. Chinese food is horrible. There, I said it. The only good Chinese food is the Chinese food that's been Americanized. I don't think there's General Tso's chicken in China.
No, and there's
not. Right? Because there's no chicken. We're like, ooh, isn't this cuisine fantastic and exotic? It's built off of people doing eating stuff to survive.
Dog. Well, they're selling the Olympics. I'm serious.
I'm shooting. I bet they are. And I'm shooting my wad here. But like, how did rice get started? Someone like, seriously, how hungry are you when you wade out into a big old mud puddle and start nibbling on the ends of a piece of grass? And people are like, are you okay? And like, no, I think if we boiled it, we could do it. Is there nutritional value? No, but it doesn't matter. You don't want to eat dirt. It like literally it's based on whatever. I'm gonna save it. I might do it in stand up tonight at Governor's if I get out there. The other thing I wanted to do, because I promised I would, Blade Runner 2049. I watched that last night. That was part of my me day. And it was not directed by Ridley Scott. I thought it was. It was produced by Ridley Scott. It was really good. It was really good. It had all the flavors of the original. Now, if you don't like the original, I can't help you. But for me, like visually, it was stunning. I had never seen anything like it. That's one of the things that I look for. That Blade Runner, the first one, Harrison Ford, fantastic. And this one had the similar look. It had the similar feel. It had the similar pacing. Ryan Gosling did great. The story had a really nice twist. And so a shout out to Blade Runner 2049. And they're setting up for more. They're setting up for more. So bring it. Bring on Blade Runner 2050. Did you see the original?
I did a long time ago.
Yeah. It's very difficult, and this would be another thing for – I don't know which version to go back and watch. If you're going to do like a Blade Runner party, you've got Blade Runner, the theatrical release, Blade Runner, the director's cut, Blade Runner, the ultimate cut, Blade – like you don't know which one to watch.
We'll just go with the ultimate.
You think. However, I really enjoyed it. Lots of good nudity in Blade Runner 2049, and it wasn't excessive. It was on story, and it's nice to see. You don't see a lot of sex scenes anymore. You don't see a lot of nudity in films anymore. It's not necessary, but I enjoy it when it's on story. Okay, so I'll do we'll talk about screw Chinese food next week. I'm literally writing it down. Oh my gosh, Robot Lady. I'm thoroughly enjoying Robot Lady. Big time.
Okay, that wasn't on the original list, but we'll add it.
We will. Robot Lady, and that's the reason I call her Robot Lady is because I don't want her to be activated. It's one of those, you know, in your house things. And they have this new thing for Gordon Ramsay, and you can ask Gordon Ramsay to review your food, right? So you can go, hey, Robot Lady, ask Gordon Ramsay what he thinks of my, you know, blank, my pizza, my sandwich. And then Gordon Ramsay, you know, that sandwich is horrible. Here's what you want. You want Gordon Ramsay to be like, that thing's horrible. It's undercooked. A good vet could bring it back to life. Get out of this kitchen. You're an idiot sandwich. Like you want him to go off. But unfortunately, it's like Gordon Ramsay in a recording studio. That food is nasty. I would not eat it. You should. It's not. I was so excited.
Did you see the Super Bowl commercial where Alexa lost her voice?
That was hilarious.
Yeah, I like that. It was my second favorite. I actually like the one to the Dirty Dancing song with my New York Giants. That cracked me up.
That was fun. I didn't think it was that great, but it was fun and funny. I liked it when the dude on the sideline stopped the coach and was like, no, let him do this. That was hilarious. I laughed. Okay, so we went a little long. Do you have a Michaeltopia?
I really don't.
Okay. In in the real world, there's lots of crazy rules that we have to live by. In Michaeltopia, there's a different set of rules and everybody's happy. In Michaeltopia, if you're on the right, you got to learn how to loosen up. You got to get that stick out of your ass. In Michaeltopia, people on the right still have fun. I don't see anyone enjoying themselves. I feel very lonely. I work very hard. I try to have a good time. I'm not going to judge you for being a freak. I'm a freak too.
Clearly.
But if yes, yes. Thank God for me. I'm a breath of fresh air in a really, really crappy party. So come along for the ride. Yes. The Second Amendment is cool. The Constitution is awesome. We're always going to be behind that stuff. And I'm for fiscal responsibility and smaller governments. However, don't forget, these are the good old days. You'll never be this young again. Get freaky. Have some fun. Take off your shoes. Dance. Party. For the love of God, you guys. Some of you walk around like angry ass old fucking 75-year-olds. You're in your 30s, you're in your 40s, you're in your 50s. Sweet Jesus, learn how to fucking surf, get a hobby, skydive, do some shit. But this whole fucking clenched fist of bullshit, giant eagle wings, join my freedom, fuck you. You're boring. You're so boring, you guys. It's tedious. Get ready, start following the Loftus Party on Twitter, because I've been very cool. I've been biding my time for a long time. Shit's about to get weird, and I'm gonna shake a bunch of people loose. I'm tired of waiting. I'm just gonna go. I'm gonna be a leader, and I'm gonna lead. Ba-boom. All right, we'll figure out a title for this. I actually had fun today. I love getting stuff off my chest. I love it. It feels so good. It's like therapy for me.
Your weekly therapy?
It is. And it's why I still do stand up. Like, part of it is to entertain people, but a lot of it is just for me. Like, literally, I literally feel better after. There's something about vocalizing these thoughts, having people laugh, and feeling that wash over me where I'm like, whew, it is good. It's good. It's therapy for me. All right. I got to try to figure out a title for this thing. What was the first thing we talked about?
Oh, I have no idea. We've talked about a lot.
Oh, I think it was the North Korean cheerleaders.
It was.
That's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm going to put North Korean cheerleaders and okay. So I got my title. You guys are awesome. I know you are. You subscribe to the podcast. So you guys listening to this, I want to make that clear too. It's not you guys. If you subscribe to the podcast, you're already in. I love it, and I'm trying to attract new people. And I'm not gonna be a fuddy duddy douchebag. Like, nobody wants to hang out with that person. Nobody does. So you guys are awesome. Thanks for subscribing to the YouTube channel. We're trying to keep this thing honest and have some fun and have some laughs, and that's all I've ever wanted to do. So you're great. Have an awesome week, and we'll talk to you next time.